Matthew 28, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not, ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, Come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid, go. Tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, His disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. This is God's inspired and infallible word. The text for the sermon is verses 9 and 10. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Let's pray. Father in heaven, now send to us the day of joy and light, for long has been our sorrow's night, and do that through this word, the word of resurrection greetings from the Lord Jesus Christ, and may it come to us and have an abiding place in our hearts. In his name we pray, amen. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, What a great privilege and joy and honor it must have been to see Jesus face to face and to hear him and his reassuring word, especially after the last time you saw him was when he was dying on a cross, and the last time you heard him, he was crying while dying on the cross. What a day. What a marvelous day, Resurrection Sunday, to see again the risen Lord Jesus Christ and to hear him speak. And that privilege was granted first to Mary Magdalene. Not to a scribe, the body of my Lord is, tell me that I may go and take him. And then that man says, Mary. And she says, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. First, he appeared to Mary Magdalene. And so we read in Mark 16, verse 9, now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. That lovely appearance of our Lord and his reassuring voice came second to all the other women, and they are the women of the text that we consider this morning. Early Sunday morning, a whole group of women, they went to the sepulcher to anoint the body of their Lord with spices. And if we compare this narrative with the other gospel narratives, we know that in that group of women were Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, who is not the former virgin, the mother of Jesus, but another Mary, the mother of James, the less, and Joses. And in that group included Salome and Joanna, a group of women. They came to the tomb, and there they meet this angel, and he says, according to verses 6 through 8, he is not here. Women, he is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they, all these women, they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. Now, if we compare that with the other gospel narratives, evidently, Mary Magdalene took off first. She bolted out of there ahead of the other women to go meet the disciples. And she would meet Peter and John. Lord, alway, and again I say, rejoice. So on this resurrection morning, as these women are swiftly moving away from the tomb, and Jesus comes and appears to them, he gives them this greeting, all hail, that is, greetings, joy to you, is a very friendly greeting of joy where Jesus is conveying his desire that they be filled with joy, a friendly covenantal greeting. Greetings, joy to you. That's the same greeting that comes to us every time we hear the gospel. The gospel is always the announcement of the great work of Jesus Christ for our salvation and the joy that is ours in him. Greetings, joy to you this day. Fundamentally, this greeting is no different than the greeting we hear every time we gather for worship. Sometimes that greeting is identified in the liturgy, in the bulletin, as salutation, or other times it's simply called greeting. And it's that very first word from God through the minister to the congregation, beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the friendly greeting of God. And really, every time we are greeted by fellow Christians who are indwelt by the Spirit of Christ, maybe here in the narthex, people are greeting others. And we come and we receive a Christian greeting. Greetings this morning, joy to you. That's really Jesus through his people giving us the resurrection greetings, a friendly greeting. So that Jesus did not come, and today in the gospel, Jesus does not come to us with a blank stare, with cold indifference, or with an expression of ill will, cursed be you or damn you. No. The greeting of Jesus is a friendly greeting. All hail. That is, greetings, joy to you this morning. Second, all hail is a surprising greeting. Verse 9. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold. That interjection means suddenly, without expectation. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, all hail. A surprising greeting. Now they all believed the word of the angel as the word of God, and therefore they expected that Jesus would be seen in Galilee. For the angel said, according to verse 7, behold, he, Jesus, goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And later in the text, verse 10, Jesus will say to these women, be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Galilee. Galilee is that region up to the north where Jesus performed most of his miracles, did most of his preaching. Galilee is the home territory of most of the disciples. That's where they came from. That's where they had their homes, up in Galilee. Galilee is where you would go if you really didn't want to run into the chief priests and the scribes and the Pharisees who lived down in Jerusalem in Judea. Galilee. Well, Galilee is 80 to 100 miles away. So it will take a few days to travel by foot up to Galilee, but they believe the word of the angel. They have the expectation Jesus will be seen in Galilee. But they were not expecting to see Jesus here. Not one of them would have been walking, well, they weren't walking, running down the path and saying to the other women, you know, we ought to keep our eyes peeled. We never know. Jesus' path could cross with ours, or he could be right around the bend. Everyone be ready. Keep a lookout for Jesus this morning. Nobody was saying that. Nobody had any expectation of any encounter from Jesus. And so as they're running along that path away from the sepulcher, all of a sudden, Jesus appears right there. And when he says, all hail, greetings, joy to you, that was an unexpected and surprising greeting. Have you ever received one of those from Christ? You know, when you come to church and you look at the bulletin and you read the sermon text and the theme for the sermon, that's a very familiar text. I've actually heard a couple of sermons on that text in my life, and I know what that passage is all about. You're very surprised. Because Jesus has a very comforting and enriching word for you out of this passage in which new insights are given to you. And it's a surprise. Or you're reading the scriptures at home, or you're studying the Bible in Bible study, and it's a passage, a chapter you've read countless times, but you walk away saying, that was so beautiful. I am very happy right now. I have never looked at that passage that way. What a very enriching, surprising word from Jesus. Or you receive a Christian greeting from a fellow saint face to face, or through a letter of encouragement. Maybe it comes in the mail. You weren't expecting it. It's a very difficult time in your life right now, and you open it up, and it's really Christ himself. Greetings, joy to you. From one of your fellow Christians, a surprising greeting. Sometimes Christ surprises us as he did these women. We're not even expecting him, his word, his power, and his grace. There he is in a beautiful way. All hail. Greetings. Joy to you. Third, and finally, this is not only a friendly and a surprising, but it is a saving greeting. No ordinary greeting this was. This was not the greeting of betrayal from Judas. Hail. This was not the greeting of mockery from the soldiers, hail. This was not even the greeting of Peter or James or John. Greetings, joy to you this morning, women. This was not the greeting of Lazarus, who once was dead and had been raised back to life. This was not even the greeting of the angel. Now, several years earlier, an angel appeared to the Virgin Mary and said, hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. This was a greeting from Jesus. Verse 9, and as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus, whose name means Jehovah Salvation, met them, saying, all hail. But this was not even the Jesus that they were accustomed to seeing and hearing and ministering unto. This was not the Jesus who was doing miracles and preaching in Galilee, Samaria, and Judea. This is not the Jesus who promised, who prophesied, I must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the chief priests, the scribes, and the Pharisees, and I will be put to death, but I will be brought back from the dead again on the third day. This is not the Jesus who prophesied, was prophesying, that he would die for them and accomplish the fullness of their salvation and take away all their guilt, to deliver them from the tyranny of Satan, to obtain for them a precious inheritance undefiled in the heavens, which moth and rust cannot corrupt and destroy. The Jesus who prophesied that he will accomplish their salvation so that they can have eternal life with God in his covenant. This is not the Jesus who was in the state of humiliation, suffering all his ministry long. This is the Jesus who was dead, but has now been made alive. This is the head of the universal body, the church. The one who stands before them is the first begotten of the dead. He is the firstborn of every creature. He is the one who not now is prophesying that he will, but who already has made peace with God through the blood of his cross, reconciling his people unto God. This is the Jesus who has accomplished the fullness of their everlasting salvation, died, and was brought back to life. He is the one who now says to them, greetings, joy to you. And his word is always sovereign, irresistible, and efficacious, so that as he speaks the word, joy to you, he accomplishes what he speaks in their hearts. That's different than our greetings. Because we can stand in the narthex and greet people. And maybe someone comes in with a sad countenance. Greetings, brother. Joy to you. And it does not change his countenance. And it does not change his heart or her heart. Because our word, joy to you, is not effectual. But Jesus is the sovereign Lord, the risen Savior. His word is always an efficacious word. And when he says, greetings, joy to you, he communicates joy to their hearts. He communicates salvation, a saving greeting from the risen Lord. All hail. Now, why did Jesus come and give the friendly, surprising, and saving greeting, all hail? What is the reason for it? Reason? Jesus loves these women, and he desires to fill their hearts with joy because he knows they have fear. Verse 8. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. Verse 10. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go, tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. These believing women had hearts of joy, in which that joy was mingled with fear. I say that very carefully and very deliberately. I do not say these women had hearts of fear, in which their fear was mingled with joy. Not they had hearts of fear with some joy, they had hearts of joy with some fear. Those are two different things. To use an illustration, when you go to someone's graduation party and they have a table spread out and there's cake on the table, and sometimes they have two varieties of cake. This is chocolate, this is vanilla. Over here we have chocolate cake, but running through it are streaks of vanilla. And over here we have vanilla cake, but running through it are some streaks of chocolate. This is chocolate cake, this is vanilla cake. They're two different things. Same thing with the heart. You can have a heart of joy with some streaks of fear running through it, or you can have a heart of fear with some streaks of joy running through it. These believing women had hearts of joy with some fear mingled in. And that's clear from the use of the adjective great in verse 8, where we read, "And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy." Only joy is modified with the adjective great. Verse 8 does not say that they had great fear with joy, but it says they had fear and great joy. And Jesus knows that in their hearts there is great joy because they've just heard the word of the angel and they believe that word. And they're running to go tell the disciples. They have just heard the most glorious declaration of the gospel that has ever been uttered in the history of the world to that point. Jesus is risen. For 4,000 years they were waiting for the realization of the gospel promise that Jesus would come. Now he's not only come and he's not only suffered and died, he's risen from the dead. Of course they have great joy, but Jesus knows they also have fear in their hearts. Of course they did. Just put yourself in their shoes. Imagine a group of women tomorrow morning, early in the morning, while it's still dark. Group of women from church are going to walk together, and they go walking through this neighborhood, and they pass through this cemetery, and while they're there, why don't we go check my grandmother's tomb and look at it? And they do that, and they keep walking. It's dark in a graveyard. And all of a sudden, a being appears with a face that is so bright, it's as bright as lightning, all those women would be afraid. Their heart would be agitated by the sense of some impending danger. And here they were. They're walking away from a tomb. And it's dark yet. It's early Sunday morning. And they have just seen an angel. What human being wouldn't be afraid? But now, they're not only human beings, they are sinners. Every single one of these women is a sinner. And when the sinner on earth is confronted by the blinding brightness of the holiness and the majesty of God in heaven, as that brightness comes down in the lightning-like face of an angel whose raiment was white as snow, when the unholy is confronted by the holy, there's always fear. There's always a sense of guilt and shame. And that's true for all of us when we're confronted by the most holy God. That was true of the holy prophet Isaiah when he saw the angels of heaven, the seraphim, and they have to cover their eyes before the most holy God. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, the whole earth is filled with thy glory. And then the prophet himself, Isaiah, He cries out, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And now they just saw the brightness of the angel, the very holiness and glory of God. And when we are confronted with the brightness, holiness, and glory of God, there's always fear, because we are unholy. And then add to that the fact that they're running away from the sepulcher and they've just been told that he's risen, and go tell the disciples, they'll see him in Galilee. All right, they believe it. Jesus is risen. What is it going to be like to see him? I don't know. You don't know. We don't know. What will it actually be like to see him? Remember that one time the disciples were out on the boat? They were out on that boat on the Sea of Galilee in a great storm, and it was frightening. And Jesus came walking to them on the water, and who's ever seen anyone walk on water? They thought he was a ghost. They're terrified. Who's ever seen Jesus come back from the dead? They don't know what to expect. It's dark. It's early Sunday morning. Yes, they have great joy. Yes, they are believing. But there's a lot of uncertainty. There are doubts and fears mingled with that joy. Jesus knows it. He sees it. And he knows if there is fear mingled with the joy of your heart and my heart. Maybe you sense a storm is brewing in your own heart, in your own life, in some of your relationships, in the workplace, and now your heart is agitated. Maybe you have the fear of the unknown and how it will go. What? You know, that next big thing in your life? I don't know what it is. That change that's coming for you, that new circumstance up ahead, that encounter, maybe that person you have to respond to. Boy, the very thought of it makes me sweat. Fear what's coming. Or fear that God's word will not come to pass, and though God says, "My grace is sufficient for thee," what we have to go through, it seems unbearable. How will his grace be sufficient? And now fear, or the fear of dying and meeting one who is infinitely brighter and more glorious than an angel, the living God himself, and there hasn't been 1 hour of our life. There hasn't been 1 hour, there hasn't been 1 minute of our life wherein we haven't sinned. We have sinned our whole life long. And now we will appear before this one of blinding holiness and majesty, the God with whom we have to do, the God who hates sin. I have to stand before him. And fear creeps in. Jesus knows we have hearts of joy, but there is often fear mingled with that joy, or maybe for someone here, you do not even have a heart of joy. You have a heart of fear, with only a little bit of joy mingled in, or maybe you don't have any joy at all this morning. Jesus knows you, and Jesus sees you. And the reason Jesus appeared on this path as these women are running to go tell the disciples, because he loves them. He loves them, and he will fill their hearts with joy because he sees the fear. He loves them, and he loves us, and fear is an awful thing. It's a horrible way to live in fear, always to be afraid, Fear is so powerful. Fear can motivate people to do crazy things. And you can control people if you can make them afraid. If you can manipulate people to be afraid, you can get them to do anything you want. You're all going to die. Some great thing is going to come to you. Your children are all going to hell. Fear, the power of fear. It's awful. It's horrible. And Jesus wills that his people live in joy, not fear. And so when Jesus came to this earth in human flesh, he did that to give his people joy. And when he allowed himself to be nailed to that cross and he willingly took all the wrath of God and paid the penalty for our sins, it was because he is determined to give us joy. And when he burst through those chains of death first thing Sunday morning and came out of the grave, he had a determined resolution of heart. My people will not fear. My people will not fear God. They will not fear Satan. They will not fear death. They will not fear things or circumstances. Not my people. I have accomplished the fullness of their salvation, full and free. And now I am coming to each one of them. And I'm going to begin with Mary Magdalene, because nobody feared like she did. Possessed one time by seven demons, her first. And then I'm going to go to all those women, and I'm going to my disciples, and I'll go up into Galilee, and I'm going to come in the Holy Gospel all through the new dispensation to all my people everywhere to give them my greetings. Greetings, joy to you. And with that efficacious word, to bring joy into our hearts. Because it is the will of Jesus that we not live in fear, but that we live in the joy of knowing he is the risen Lord who is our Savior now and forever. All hail. Greetings. Joy to you. What a loving Savior. They might think, what interest would Jesus have in us right after he arose from the dead? If we think about all his suffering, we think about everything he endured here in the holy city, at the hands of those soldiers and all those ungodly Jews, and you think of what he suffered on that cross, at the hands of his own father, and how he died, and now he's been raised back to life. Surely Jesus comes out of the tomb and he goes, let's say, straight to the Mount of Olives, to the top of the Mount of Olives, just to be alone and to bask in the glory of his Father, to commune with his God and to pray to him. What interest could he possibly have in coming to meet us poor women? Or we might think he's now basking in the glory of God in heaven. What interest would Jesus possibly have in our solar system, which is a teeny speck in the universe? And what interest could he possibly have in anything on this earth, in the United States, in the state of Michigan, and here in Hudsonville, Michigan, and in this auditorium where we poor little finite, feeble sinners are gathered? What interest could he have in us? And there he is. Of all places he could be, there he is looking at these women face to face. Greetings, joy to you, because he loves them and he does not want them to live in fear, but to live in joy. And the same for us this morning. How fitting, how fitting and beautiful then is the response of the women. Verse 9, and as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. The Gospels present many vivid images to us of Jesus and his ministry and some of the physical contact he had with other people. Think of the aged Simeon cradling the babe in his arms. You've all thought about that. You've all had that image in your mind. Or you think about the sinful woman who got down and she washed his feet with her tears, and then she dried those feet with her hair, and then she kissed his feet. We've all called that to mind. We visualize that. Have you ever visualized this? This one is not as familiar. He's standing on the path. The women are all before him. And all of a sudden, he's there and he greets them, all hail. And they all immediately get down on the ground at his feet. Now, that's not so surprising, because if you read through the Gospels, a very common act of respect and worship was to fall on the ground before someone at their feet. And there are many individuals who did this. Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, whose 12-year-old daughter had died, he fell down at Jesus' feet. 10 lepers are healed. Only one of them comes back. He falls down at Jesus' feet. But here, it's not one. All these women get down on the ground. And they not only fall down at his feet, but each one takes her arms, she stretches out her arms, and she holds his feet. And now he's standing there, almost as it were, enchained in the hand grip of all these women who are lying on the ground around him, each one holding his feet. Why? What are they doing? They're worshiping him. Verse 9, they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Now, Matthew doesn't tell us what they said, and maybe that's because they didn't say anything. And they didn't need to say anything. The very action, the very striking action, is conveying what's in their heart. And it's a heart of worship. They're all holding on to his feet. Jesus, thou art God. No man who has ever stood on this earth is God and worthy of worship, but thou art the eternal God, our God. We worship thee. Jesus, thou art alive. Thou art the living Lord who's come back from the dead, and thou hast now made death thy servant, so we have nothing to fear. Oh, Jesus, we worship thee. Jesus, oh, Jesus, we sinful women are not worthy of the least of thy blessing, not of thy grace and thy mercy and thy compassion and thy attention. We're not even worthy of giving thee a hug. We are not worthy. And so they all fall on the ground and they hold him by the feet. Oh, Jesus, we worship thee, our Lord. And then they obey. They get up and obey. Verse 10, then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid, go. Tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Verse 11, now when they were going, they went. They obeyed. They worshiped and obeyed. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the risen Lord has come to us this morning in the gospel and declared to us, greetings, joy to you. And how can we respond in any other way this morning than with humble adoration and worship, worship of Jesus Christ who lives and reigns forever, and by obeying. So you go, and I go. Go. Go tell your brethren that Jesus is risen. Go tell your neighbors. Tell anyone you may encounter this week. Tell them, Jesus Christ is risen indeed. And that's the personal witness of all of us. Having worshiped him, now we will go tell others. And that's not only the obedience of these individuals. There's a command for the whole church, and it's the great go. It's the last go with which the chapter concludes. We call it the Great Commission. 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. That church that truly worships Jesus with adoration and is thankful to Jesus, the risen Lord, not only hears, but obeys the Great Commission and goes to the nations to tell the nations that Jesus is risen indeed. Hallelujah. So let us go. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for condescending in Thy love to come to us this morning and to bring light and joy through the resurrection greetings. So send us on our way now with a new song. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.